some of us wondered how we're going to, all of us who are connected to him wondered how we're going to continue in his absence, because Gurudev was such a personality. He had such a strong, played such a strong role in each and every one of our lives. He would direct us in very, very detailed ways to do things. And so when you've been spoon-fed like that, in my case, since 1982, all the way to 2002, 20 years of being spoon-fed like that, we become lazy and expect continuing to be spoon-fed like that, and not expect that the spiritual master will leave, and then what will we do after he leaves? But we can see that actually he has not left, that he is still guiding us, he is still helping us in various ways. So far as the Dallas temple is concerned, and by the way, I asked that Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu speak before I speak, because generally that's what we do in Dallas. But anyway, I spoke to the wrong person. I spoke to the temple president of Houston. Prabhupada would say that if you want to meet the prime minister, then you go and speak to the secretary, and then the secretary will fix it, and then you can speak to the prime minister. This was actually happened in Fiji. Srila Gurudev wanted to stop Rajneesh from coming to Fiji, and he was such a powerful person, Bhagavan Rajneesh, that, you know, there was no chance that anybody would be able to stop him, but Gurudev felt we should do that. So I remember Srila Prabhupada's statement, so I went and spoke to the secretary of the prime minister, and she gave me audience with the prime minister. I should have done the same. I should have gone and seen his daughter, and then maybe the order would have been changed a little. But anyways, there was some meeting here, and the intelligent minds of Houston felt that this is how it should be done. So please forgive my impudence to speak before some of you luminaries, all of you who are much more advanced than I am. So far as the Dallas temple is concerned, we have many things that we can report to Srila Gurudev, like the fact that we now have many young devotees who have taken up greater responsibility at the temple and become vice presidents, and to take on the service of Srila Prabhupada's mission. The fact that many nice relationships are being built over a period of time. But one thing that stands out in my heart the most is our youth, as Shyam Sundar Prabhu was saying earlier, before I spoke. And what I'm really excited about is that our youth are really very, very, very interested in kirtan, in Sri Krishna kirtan. Kirtan is the most important thing that we can be interested in. In fact, if we just do three things, chanting, feasting, and dancing, our movement will be so powerful that no one could ever touch us. No other group would touch us. With however powerful they may be today as a religion, you know, we'd fly right past them. Just like the leader of the Methodist Church in their international conference said, and this was 10 years ago, that what the Hare Krishnas have done in 30 years took us 1700 years, he said. Took us 1700 years to do what Hare Krishnas. And, of course, we can always say that there is no question about it that Srila Prabhupada was such a great personality that the things that he achieved on this planet in such a short space of time, such a short spell, it's beyond miraculous. There's just no word to describe it. There's no word in the English dictionary or the Sanskrit dictionary or any dictionary in the world to describe what Srila Prabhupada did. It's just purely beyond transcendental. The intelligence with which he actually promoted this movement. And our great fortune is that for those of us who are disciples and friends of Kamalakrishna Maharaj, His Holiness, Kamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, we know that he was such a loyal disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I remember once when we had some problems in Fiji and he wanted me to come to the United States of America, and I really didn't want to come. So anyway, after he pretty much, you know, twisted my ear and made me come here, he actually rewarded me in a way by saying that, okay, I'm going to give you the worship of Giriraj. So he gave me Giriraj Srila to worship. And then later on, gave me a kavach of Giriraj and said that worship this and by mentally serve, because you're the president, you're going to you're taking too much time worshipping Giriraj. I was doing 2.5 hour morning worships of Giriraj. I was so much into it, so much ecstasy and pleasure. I spent 2.5 hours worshipping Giriraj. He said, look, this is not practical for a temple president to do this. So anyway, so he gave me the worship of Giriraj Kavach. And so one time when I was in England and I was speaking to him, I had heard disciples of his asking him, Gurudev, please tell me, what is my specific service? What would you like me to do? What instruction can you give me so that I can become a successful devotee? And many nice instructions were given to those devotees, so I thought I'd ask the same question. Although he had already given me some instructions, I thought I'd ask him anyway, what would you like me to do? So I said, he said to me, so what are you doing right now? So I said, I'm worshipping Giriraj, doing Manasa worship, and worshipping Giriraj Kavach, but my main service is really taking care of Srila Prabhupada in his quarters upstairs. I would wake him up every morning, and at that time I would put him to rest every night also. He said, well, that's the best service. He said, if you're serving Srila Prabhupada in his quarters, and he told me how he would himself sit there in front of Srila Prabhupada and chant, and if I in his room, he would sit in front of a plant of Tulsi Maharani. I've got such a beautiful Tulsi Maharani plant here, sitting right next to him. He'd be so happy to see that. And he would chant really very nicely in front of these personalities. Of course, other personalities as Shamsan Prabhu was describing. So, in that discussion that I had with him, I could see clearly that there was just one personality in his heart that stood out way beyond everybody else. And that personality was Srila Prabhupada. That he was so engrossed in what he could do for Srila Prabhupada that, you know, he was a real forward thinker. We have a very nice godbrother. Well, he's actually a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but he got second initiation from Srila Gurudev. That's Gunavatar Prabhu, the temple president in Israel. And I remember the first time we all met, we were talking, and you know how at these meetings we generally reminisce. It's like a reminiscence time, you know. The Gurudev said this to me, Gurudev did this, and you know, those types. And we become very happy hearing those things. And he felt a little disappointed. He said, really, what we should be thinking is, what are we going to do in terms of Srila Prabhupada's mission now that Srila Prabhupada Gurudev is not here, with the instructions that he gave us, what are we going to do? Well, why don't we look into the future and say, what are we going to do? That reminded me of this one thing that Gurudev did in Dallas, and that is that he showed a lot of love to the little ones. You know, he showed them so much love. It's just incredible how much love he showed them. And they've now become the youth of Dallas. Now the younger ones have become grown up. You know, they all now can speak. They can give a Vyas Puja offering, you know, 1,000 times better than mine, standing here and saying something that's really heartfelt, right from the heart. These devotees have taken to kirtan as their number one thing that they have tasted. And when they do kirtan, it's like a blazing kirtan that happens, and you know, everybody gets right into it, and like everybody's totally engrossed in the kirtan. And he wanted the Dallas temple, well, the community there, to develop, a nice grihastha community to develop. And with these type of children and youth amongst our midst, we can be very confident that the Hare Krishna movement is actually going to grow very nicely, because they have such great faith in the holy name of the Lord. It's like Shyamasundara Prabhu was saying, it's the holy name of the Lord. That's, everything is about the holy name of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord is not different from the Lord. He has come so that we can associate with Him. Yesterday, I couldn't come yesterday because we had three programs already slated. One in the morning, one at lunchtime, one in the evening. And the last one finished at 10. But the last one was Bhagavad Gita study group. And one of the questions that was asked was, you know, from time to time, we as devotees, we want to do things. We don't know what we should do. We don't know who to turn to and ask. Sometimes, you know, we don't feel there's somebody we can ask. So how do we actually know what is the right thing to do in our life? And so in chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada answers that question by saying that actually when we chant the holy name of the Lord, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we're actually associating with the Supreme Lord. We intimately associate with the Supreme Lord. It is actually the Supreme Lord who we are with. So where's the question of asking, not being able to ask the Supreme Lord? We can ask the holy name. So when we did this Japa workshop recently in Houston. That was such an eye-opener, because one question that was asked us, that the holy name is my blank, because blank. So someone said the holy name is my refrigerator because he supplies me with food. Unendingly, you know, limitlessly. Somebody said he is my psychiatrist because he treats my mind. You know, so different things like that. I mean, there were many nice things said, Supreme Lord, like that. But one of the realizations at that time I had was the holy name is my chastiser because he corrects me. You know, the holy name, actually, when we have problems in our lives, we're being chastised so that we can actually make a correction. And so that is the love of the Lord for our improvement. So we all know how much of a sauce giver Srila Gurudev was, and how many of us dreaded when we heard that Srila Gurudev wants to see you right now. Oh boy. Some of us got ulcers, some of us. We had so many difficulties that we went through at that time, but all of that is coming to our good stead right now. So coming back to this point about the youth, about 6 weeks ago, the City of Dallas liaison officer calls me and says, we'd like to see you about a problem we have in the City of Dallas. And I asked what it was, and they said, well, right now the City of Dallas has a high school dropout rate of 50%. One out of two kids is dropping out of high school. The problem is so big, all of our consultants together are not able to help. With the consultants, the rate has just gone higher and higher every year. And we want to stop it, so please, you know, we heard that you're doing something. And I said, well, you know I'm Hare Krishna, right? And they said, yeah, we know you're Hare Krishna. That's why we're a little concerned. We'd like to see you first and talk to you and see what happens. So they called me in for an interview, and we had a great interview. At the end of the interview, I went through with flying colors, and they decided to set me up with the youth. So I asked them, how many youth are involved? So the lady said, gabillions. I said, no, come on, be serious. How many youth are involved right now in the City of Dallas, in the County of Dallas that have this problem? She said, 150,000. And she said, that's not where it stops. These children have families. So it is youth at risk and their families who are affected. And I immediately thought to myself, this is Gurudev doing this. He was saying that, you know, that one of the first instructions he gave me was set up an educational institution so the young can be trained. And now, I didn't do that for, well, 25 years. I haven't done what he told me to do. So he dropped it on my lap and said, look, I'm doing it for you now. Here it is. Now the government is going to give you the money. They're giving the grant. You go and do this. Now please take care of this situation. So I was thinking to myself that this is the amount of love that Srila Gurudev has for all of the family members in ISKCON. And particularly the youth. The youth are our future. They're actually our future. I've heard Srila Prabhupada saying to some people that more important than distributing my books is taking care of your children. He said that to some Matajis. And, you know, just to indicate the importance, the very great importance he placed on personalities. And here these children have been born to our families, you know. And devotees have raised these children with a lot of difficulty. I mean, we've seen it firsthand how some of the devotees have really struggled bringing up their children. What to speak of children, some of them had to bring up their grandchildren. That's a little unusual for somebody to have to bring up their grandchildren also. But, you know, these devotees have really struggled. And in their struggle, what they have achieved is the future of the Hare Krishna movement. This is the future of our Hare Krishna movement. So I'm really thankful to Srila Gurudev that he actually gave us these instructions, this type of guidance. And actually, that is our future. I could, of course, also rattle off the names of the devotees in Dallas, the youth in Dallas, the luminaries who are sitting at the back, the boys and girls. I'm just afraid that I'll miss out a few names. I'm not as good as recollecting names as Shyamasundara Prabhu is. But I would like to say to our youth, thank you very much. Kudos and bravo. Let's please give them a big hand. And thank you, Srila Gurudev, for all of the nice instructions you've given to all of us as devotees. Speaking on behalf of so many devotees who will not be able to speak here, Srila Gurudev did say when he showed so much love to Mother Kirtida, that I've shown all this love to Mother Kirtida to show you all how much I love each and every one of my disciples and my friends. He loved each and every one of us very, very dearly. And he wanted each and every one of us to shine and move forward and help in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Some devotees have not been able to come from Dallas. They had good reasons. His Holiness Kesava Bharati Maharaj, his back is still not good, and he finds that whenever he travels, he has a problem. The BBT has given him a deadline to get the audiobook ready for the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he finds every 10 minutes, 15 minutes he can find, because in Dallas what happens is so many things happen, you know, like the kids come and play in the park, now he can't record. You know, Radhanath Prabhu and team come and do the mowing, you can't record. The rain comes and, you know, the thunder claps, you can't record. So he finds the gaps when he can't record, so that he can get these things ready on time. Other devotees like Mother Padma and her husband couldn't come, and also Devaprastha Prabhu, because they're cooking for the restaurant. Today the restaurant is doing its first lunch meal, and they decided to do it on Srila Gurudev's appearance day as a thank you to him, as a way of saying thank you to him. We have Ujjaswat Prabhu, whose health is not the best. He's recovering very well, but it takes time for the type of difficulty he went through. It takes much longer than what he's doing. He's really recovering very quickly. And of course, his wife also went through difficulties. Mother Gita Amrita, she also had an operation, a very severe operation to go through. So personalities like that couldn't turn up for that reason. For that, we apologize. But their spirits are here with us. And of course, they're celebrating at the Dallas Temple, because they're there in Dallas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I will say, today's appearance day, one day, I was talking, as you know, I was fortunate enough to get, well, relatively a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada during. But then I also had another good fortune. And you know what that fortune was? That I was also able to associate with Srila Tamal Krishna from time to time. We knew each other very well, and we served together many places. And one day I asked him, you seem to have a New York accent. And he said, yes, yeah, I'm from New York. So I told him, I said, where from New York are you from? He says, from Washington Heights. He says, really? That's where I was born. So maybe that's my claim to fame too. So he was also, we found out that we lived about maybe a few blocks from each other. We were born in the same place. I think he was born a year before me. So that was very nice. And the first time, I've said before, maybe sometimes I'll repeat some things, I'll try to be brief, but one of the wonderful things that I was able to behold was that when I came to Krishna consciousness, I came to Montreal, Canada. Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I had some different ideas from the US government regarding the policy, foreign policy of going to Vietnam. And I was love and peace man. I said, no way, man. I'm out of here. After 2 years, they had me in the room, and somehow or other, I prayed to God. I heard Hare Krishna because I was part of the hair thing on Broadway. I was just getting up in the world and acting and sports and everything, but somehow or other, the US government said, it's time for you to go, and time to get down here with your toothbrush and towel. But if you're not ready to go, maybe we'll leave. But that was just a trick. They got me there, and I found myself captured in the induction center. So I prayed to God, and I heard Hare Krishna in the hair. We used to sing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Remember that? Yeah. And so, truthfully, I haven't told this publicly before, but I said, can I, the bathroom? I said, yeah, it's right over there, but after that you take the oath over there. And I saw these poor guys there like this. And I said, no. God, please help me. So I went to the bathroom. I looked out the window, and there was nothing but a black pit. Nowhere to grab, nowhere to jump. I felt, oh my gosh. how am I going to get out of this place? I'm dead. So somehow Krishna in my heart, he says, now what you do is, you like to do acting? Now's your chance to do some acting. So I remember what I did was, I looked around and there was no one down by the steps. I think it was one or two flights, I don't remember. This was 1968. So I started to walk, but I started to walk in a special way. I was drooling. And there were some guards there like this. I didn't even look at them. I never looked up at their faces, but I saw some guys like this protecting the doors. As I walked past them, I dragged my feet. And out the door I went. Haribo! Free at last. Free. So I was avoiding the US government service. And I went to Montreal. And one day I saw on the campus, I was vegetarian on my own though. This Krishna is helping me because he's saying, don't eat any more of that garbage anymore. Look at the blood on the plate. Yeah, you're right. I had to give it up. I said, well, they taught me to kill. No. In my mind I said, no more meat. Thank you. No more meat. And I was searching for God in my heart. And I avoided US Army service. But you know who was waiting for me? Krishna service. Prabhupada servant. Prabhupada was there in 1968 when I come to Montreal. I snuck out of the country and got to Montreal and Prabhupada was there. I didn't know. But I saw one time one devotee. I was going into this pharmacy and one lady came out and said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And she almost knocked me over. And I had no shoes on. I was a little love and peace as I mentioned. And I said, oh my God. Well, so that was my first experience. Then I saw Jayapataka Maharaj. I remember him. He was saying, preaching, oh, Krishna consciousness! So everything, all these things are going on. So Montreal, I surrender. I was looking for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says, Dhansaduta Prabhu, you come to Rathiatra 69. So he selected me to go with him. We travel with his wife across Canada. We came from Seattle, we saw some devotees, and we finally came to Berkeley, California. And just before Rathiatra, the Los Angeles devotees were coming. And who was their general? Temple President Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was there, oh my gosh. And he was giving a lecture when I saw him, and I said, well, that's Tamal, because I heard about him. You hear about it like in the news, and now you see him in person, And there was a whole bunch of devotees. It came with him, Karandar, Vishnu Jinnah, Stoka Krishna. I mean, he had an illustrious Sukadev, Bhavananda, Sudama. Oh my gosh. I felt like a little fly in all these great devotees, And there was big Rathiatra. And wonderful, I met Srila Tamal Krishna. Immediately he took a liking to me. He gave me his friendship. And his love and his mercy. And that's the way it was throughout our whole life together. There's so much. I said I was going to talk too long, but obviously I could go on for many, many hours, as you can see. I haven't even come to, basically even to Los Angeles. So anyway, when he was there at the important points in my life. He wanted to keep me. When he saw me, I was enthusiastic for Harinama. He thought, oh, we should keep this devotee here in Los Angeles. And he spoke to Hansaduta. He says, I want Chitsukananda Prabhu to stay here with us in Los Angeles. Hansaduta says, what will you give me? He was ready to let me go. So he says, I'll give you two men, magazine distributors and good Harinam man.
He says, sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, it's time to go? Okay. Thank you, I'm sorry. So finally, because Himavati, his wife, said, are you going to trade Chitsukananda for two? Not even 10. You go back and tell Tamal Krishna Maharaj that you're not going to take. So I would like to say one thing. When we lost Srila Prabhupada, it created a gigantic vacuum for all the devotees and the whole world, and maybe the whole universe. But, to be honest with you, when we lost Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that to me was like devastation. And I mean it in a sincere way that I said, now really, where are we going to get some mercy around this place? Where are we going to find the kindness and love that he brought from Srila Prabhupada? So when Prabhupada left, big vacuum, and then when I heard on this, and that Ides of March, March 15th, I remember that day, terrible day. Of course, it's a glorious day because I'm sure Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, his right-hand man, Prabhupada said, you're my right-hand man. I wasn't his right atom on his toe yet, not even not bacteria. That's true for me. But I'm not unhappy and I'm not envious. I'm happy to glorify him on his day. He was a great devotee, like you said, dedicated, character, a very wonderful person and a sweet devotee. And, well, I'm sure he's waiting for all of us. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So, today, the Vyas Puja of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, I was reflecting how important is the Guru Parampara, the cyclic succession that Lord Krishna re-established when he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and how through the ages this transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness is coming down in this disciplic succession, and how Srila Prabhupada transplanted the Vedic culture, no? The Krishna consciousness movement, to the West for first time in the history of the world, and how His Holiness Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj gave all his life to help and to assist Srila Prabhupada in this wonderful mission. Prabhupada always knew that he could count on Tamal Krishna Maharaj in any difficult task. When there was something very difficult to do, he would call him immediately. So I had the good fortune to meet His Holiness Goswami Maharaj back in the first New York Radha Yatra in 1976. We, 30 devotees from the Caracas Temple in South America, flew there to have darshan of Prabhupada again and be in the first Radha Yatra. And I was really very, very impressed by Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj's personality. I already heard about him from South America, about his glorious service to Prabhupada, how he was leading the Sankirtan movement and leading the book distribution, and so enthusiastically and so successfully. We knew about him from that far away. So when we came to meet him there, and we were introduced to him by our temple president, and he was very happy that we also were trying to distribute Prabhupada's books there. And 1 year, actually, that same year, 76, we had a transcendental competition with the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party. And we were so much really fired up by Prabhupada's association, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's encouragement, that year we defeated the Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party. Prabhupada wrote a letter to our GBC saying, nobody before has done this. So Radha Damodar, sometime he get pleasure to be defeated by his own devotees. Prabhupada took it in a very transcendental way. He explained it that way. So that was very, very encouraging, very nice. And to see Prabhupada, you know, sitting on Subhadra's chariot, and all the senior, you know, intimate disciple, no? Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj and others were there next to him, I remember Tamakrishna Maharaj told Prabhupada that Prabhupada, you started here in New York, and now after 10 years, you are successfully, you know, having this wonderful Tayatra all over the Fifth Avenue. All the Fifth Avenue was closed, you know, and, you know, with police escort, you know, was really well, amazing. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is Krishna's mercy only, you know, was wonderful. And then again in 86, the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya appearance day, Srila Tamakrishna Maharaj presented in Mayapur to all the devotees this Jagannath Priya Natakam, and was amazing play, amazing drama, was really beautiful. And I don't know why he approached me and asked me, how did you like my play? Did you pay attention to it? I said, of course, Maharaj, because I was a little tired. From time to time, I was like dozing a little bit. So I think he noticed that. So he was asking me if you really was paying attention. I said, Maharaj, really, this is really wonderful. I thank you so much. Because it was a little too long to him. But it was really amazing service he did. And then in 93, I had the good fortune to be with him in the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. That was a really amazing parikrama because many senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, like Tamakrishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and, you know, and others were there. And for one full week, we were camping, you know, at different places with tents and walking barefoot. And kirtan was going 4 or 5 hours every day. And I remember one special kirtan went so wild that we couldn't stop for 5 hours, 6 hours, the kirtan. And we were embracing each other, you know, like brothers, you know, and together, you know. So, well, and Tamakrishna Maharaj said, now I understand what Prabhupada meant when he said that we will have another ISKCON there in Goloka. Prabhupada said he was referring to this ISKCON. The ISKCON that is centered around chanting the holy name and Vaishnava association and proper respect to all living entities and love and affection between devotees. That's the real ISKCON. That's what Prabhupada wanted. And I see that all of you, disciples of Srila Tamakrishna Maharaj, have imbibed this spirit he has, you know, to show love and to share with devotees and to encourage them to chant the holy name. Yes, I'll just finish one half minute. That last time, of course, I could have his darshan was in 2002 in Mayapur. And he came after many years. And I felt that he was, after all we knew what happened, that he came to see his god brothers for last time, to say farewell to them. And he was chanting the holy name so intensely with his god brothers in his room that grow up so much we have to take it to the temple room, you know. Was so intense, so wonderful. And I am sure he was so dear to Prabhupada that most surely he is now personally with Srila Prabhupada assisting him in his service to Sri Radha and Krishna. Srila Tamakrishna Goswami Maharaj.
Sri Gurudev Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So wonderful to come back again to Houston for this occasion. Remember when Gurudev was here, and everybody was sitting around the sides, and Gurudev's mother and everybody, and how wonderful all the reciprocations were from him. But today I was really affected and really appreciative of the serious form of chastisement we got during that class today. That was really wonderful. I haven't been chastised by him in a long time. So I was thinking, wow, we really missed that. I remember Radhananath Swami and different devotees were with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj when he left this world. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was saying to this one disciple, I just don't know what we're going to do. And everybody was very concerned. Maharaj was concerned. What is he talking about? I just don't know what we're going to do. And everybody was getting anxiety. Wow, Maharaj is really concerned about something. And then somebody asked him, Maharaj, what do you mean? He goes, who's going to get on your case when I leave? Who's going to chastise you? So it's we need to be corrected. And that's the Lord's pastime, in a sense, that he comes to this material world to correct it, because we're all full of misusing our independence. So Krishna sends, Gurudev, it could have been on those lectures in Fiji that he was giving about a beautiful series they put into the videos, but it may have been a different time, may have included in that. He was preaching, saying that, may have been here in Houston, I can't remember now. But he was preaching, saying that, you know, we come to worship Krishna on the altar, and the Supreme Lord is so beautiful and inviting and so wonderful, and it's easy to go there and offer obeisances to the Lord and give some little donation and do something. But when you meet the Vaishnava can say, you're nonsense. You can't come and fool me. You can't fool the Vaishnava. You can come up and be all sentimental and you can be this and be that, you know. But then when you came in front of Gurudev, you couldn't hold, but you couldn't cheat anything. He could look at you and see through you. The devotees of Prabhupada have that experience on the Yadubar's wonderful DVDs, a continuum of following Srila Prabhupada. So many devotees always say when Srila Prabhupada looked at them, he could see them. When Gurudev could do the same thing, the disciples have the same experience. You couldn't get away with anything, and he could tell what you were thinking also. I remember sitting outside of his room one time. I don't remember what I was thinking. I can't remember, but I was sitting out there, because I used to go up there and hang out all the time when I was a brahmachari. He would come and I would just invite myself in and stay with him all the time. And one time he was busy and I was out there chanting, thinking of something. And he immediately called me in and he called me on that exact same thing. And it was very inspiring. And I don't want to take too long, but that wonderful chastisement today was really apropos, I think, because in the Grihastha Ashram, you can definitely come up with a lot of excuses. And they really are good ones to your mind. And you can really, you know, dig deep in those bad excuses to justify being in the modes of material nature. One time Gurudev chastised me in a funny, positive way. I was in Dallas and working late in the restaurant or whatever, and I couldn't go to the morning program. So finally he was there, so I came. And after the second morning, he goes, wow, Chaitanya, he goes from the mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness in 2 days. So I was like, oh, so this lecture this morning really hit home again. I have to try to give up my excuses and get strict again, getting up for Mangal Arati. But that's the real point that the Vaishnava has, is compassion. That the compassion is that if we're not intelligent enough to do the thing properly, then the Vaishnava has to chastise us to put us in the right place. And by that chastisement, the potency of the Lord comes through. The devotee has great potency and affection. And through the chastisement, the energy, the purification comes through. So we have to pray to Gurudev to somehow give us strength and continually correct us so that we can continue preaching. Because this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada continuously said, this movement, we're wondering how this movement's going to spread. Prabhupada said, this movement's going to spread. And the devotee asked him that. Srila Prabhupada, how is this movement going to spread? And he said, when every one of us, individuals, preach to whoever we meet about Krishna, that is how Krishna consciousness is going to spread. Thank you very much. Srila Gurudev Ki.
I don't have the fortune to have a fluent speaking like everybody was doing. So I prepare a little bit of words. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Vancha kalpa taruya cha kripa sindhu deva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like the desire trees. They are full of compassion for the fallen souls. My respectful obeisances to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was exactly like the Shastra say, and still are. You are very dear to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna because you encourage us to serve to your spiritual master. By your example, you inspire devotion. You inspire knowledge. Your personality is indescribable because of your association with the great souls. I offer my respectful obeisances time after time. Thank you so much, Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
No Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Tamal Krishna Goswami Tinamiti. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamiti. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschyata Deshatarini. Dear Sri Gurudev, on your appearance day, I bow down to your lotus feet. Diksha Guru Kripa Kori, Mantra Upadesha, Koriya Deham Krishna, Tatvera Nirdesha. The initiation spiritual master, shown his causeless mercy by giving his disciples instructions in chanting the Harinam mantra. By so doing, he points the disciple in the direction of the truth pertaining to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Srila Gurudev, you have bestowed your mercy on this fallen soul. One, by giving me the Harinam Diksha. To make me Brahmin and teach me how to worship the deity. Third, hearing and remembering and speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Four, association of devotees and how to serve them. Five, take risk and responsibilities and always guide me how to advance in spiritual life. Six, give me the deities Sri Radha Govinda Deva and Sri Radha Giridhari to serve with love and devotion. I mention over here, there are two deities. First deity is Radha Govindev ji. He has given me the Radharani in Dalash. And after that, we bought Govindev ji and served in my house, Radha Govindev ji. And after some time, when Chaitanya became the head pujari, Gurudev told us to bring the deity in the temple. And I am serving the deity every day in temple. But one day, by my mistake, both the deities fell down and broken. And I was so much attached to the deity that I am crying all the times. No doubt the Gurudev is here at that time. And he called me, but I cannot go to him. And after the second morning, he called me again. And I went over there. And he is my spiritual master and he will chastise me instead of that. He is giving me, he is telling me that it is my fault to give you the marble deity to serve. Now you bring the brass deity. So we brought the Radha Giridhari. No doubt he allowed me, Radha Govindevji, that when the appearance day comes of Radha Rani, you can take this deity at home for a week. But when Radha Giridhari came, and I remind Gurudev that you have promised me to take this deity at the time of Radha Rani's appearance at my home. No. This is not Radha Govindji, this is Radha Giridhari. You cannot take him. So he correct me. And the lasting thing, when it happened, he told me that now Govindji Devji has gone. You should keep Govindji Dev in your heart. And at that time I told Gurudev Maharaj, my heart is not so pure, so Govindji is not coming in my heart. Try in your life, always remember him, he will come. So he teach me how to see Krishna in your heart. And second instruction he has given me, and learn how to see Krishna in everybody's heart. I am trying the second instruction. I am seeing it in nature and everything in Krishna, but not all the time seeing in everybody's heart Krishna. So I am hankering for that. And Gurudev showed me all the transcendental places in Vrindavan personally, explained. And when we are doing parikrama in Barsana Dham, he told me, bring the house over here on the hill of the Barsana. First I do not understand what Gurudev is telling me. And he showed me took the stone and put it. Now we build the house. And I understand the meaning that you should know how to stay over here. Build your house over here. So there are so many instructions he has given me. And at the last time when he is visiting, I do not know that this is the last moment. It was Damodar month and we are singing the Damodar Ashtaka. And after 5 minutes Gurudev is going, we know that. So I went over there and bowed down. And I put my hand on his lotus feet. And I put the sign that put it on my head. And he put his right foot on my head. I'm hankering for the left foot. I don't know when I get it. So, I sincerely try to follow his instructions and remembering you with love and devotion. Sincerely yours, Janak Narad Das.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesh Sunyavadi Pastachari Sitarane. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and his glorious disciple. I come here today and I can't tell you much about Maharaj because when I joined this movement, we didn't talk to people who wore saffron. I was a householder. So he was an illustrious person in the movement, and we were very separate. But I've come here, I've always been part of the New York Yatra, and this is the first time I've come to Houston. And in coming here, I have been shown the glory of your guru, because the glory of the guru is his disciples, not his lectures, but how his lectures come to fruition. And it is a glorious thing to see here. We remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur because of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And we remember Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj because of Prabhupada. And we will always remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj because of all of you and the dedication that has manifested in your life, inspired by your guru. It's a joy to behold and a wonderful tribute to Srila Prabhupada. And I want to thank all of you for what you are doing for this movement. Prabhupada must be beaming, seeing the way you are taking care of your deities and preaching and loving each other. It's what our movement needs. Now, Janak Maharaj spoke about Maharaj giving him a deity. I didn't have much association of Maharaj, but I did have a lot of association of his widow, Madri. And Maharaj gave her the most beautiful silver deities, and she took wonderful care of them. And although their marriage was very short-lived, Madri was always in love with him. So he not only inspired you, but he inspired her. And thank you, all of you, for being here and being what you are, the tribute to your guru and the glory of his life. Hare Krishna. I
feel like an asteroid among so many comets, luminaries. Chitsukananda Prabhu spoke about having grown up in New York City. But you know, I'm not entirely convinced that New York City exists. I've heard of it. Bits and pieces of information. Maybe by talk with a number of people, and I got some information about New York City, some details, I might be convinced that there is such a place. Maybe Bhakti Carl could help in that regard. If I heard from enough people, enough details, then I might be convinced that there is such a place. But just hearing those details might not really give me much attraction to the city. In other words, I might not necessarily want to go there. However, if I saw in the people who were describing New York City, in other words, those who lived there once and who have some memory of the place, if I saw in their character something that was really attractive to me, then perhaps I would want to go there and see if what I've heard about the place is really true. So I feel that using this analogy, Srila Gurudev has described the spiritual world to us. He's told us what goes on there. He's told us some of the characteristics of the residents there. And that develops some attraction within us to want to go there. But really, what was the clincher was the character of Srila Gurudev himself. And so we came to understand that the character of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj is very much the character of the other residents of the spiritual world. And because of having developed an attraction to that kind of character, therefore we have the desire to go and see that place and find out whether all of the other details that we've heard about are really true. Srila Gurudev told us once that the Pandavas were so dutiful that one just wants their association. And so, having had the experience of being in his presence, and in the presence of those among us who were touched by his character and his activities and his words, we feel that we want to go to that place where he is, so that we can also experience what it was that caused him to give up this lifetime in order to develop that attraction within us. So for that, we're eternally indebted. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
So personally, I never had the fortune to have a conversation with Tamakrishna Maharaj, nor any opportunity to do service with him, because we were serving in different parts of the world. So actually, 1 year ago was the first time that I came in the U.S. So it was mainly serving here. So what can I say? It's something not personal, only philosophical. I like philosophy, so maybe we can talk a little bit about that. And in a few minutes, I have in my disposal. So first of all, what is Guru and what is Vaishnava? The importance of Guru and Vaishnava is established in many scriptures. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, everywhere. We find the description of the glorious association and taking shelter of Guru and Vaishnava. There is one verse which is a classic. I like it a lot. I think most of you know it. And this verse is the famous of Brahmanda Brahmite Bhagavan Jiva. Guru Krishna Prasad by Bhakti Lata Bij. And this verse is a perfect, complete description of the journey of the soul throughout the material world up to the point he starts to strongly and deeply desire for liberation and knowledge. Knowledge, and through knowledge is liberation. Through liberation it comes purity, with purity comes devotional service, and devotional service is the most desirable end of human life. So Krishna, when he sees the sincere desire in the heart of a devotee, he sends his representative. He comes personally in the form of Paramatma, in the heart of every one of us. But sometimes we don't understand what he says, because Paramatma in the heart speaks, but we don't understand because we also speak from our inside. He speaks, we speak, and things get mixed up. And so we don't understand what is Paramatma, what is our desire, what is our speculation. We don't know exactly what it is. So since we don't understand this message, so Krishna is so kind that he comes outside, from the heart, to the world, the real world, in flesh and bones, and he speaks our language, so that we can understand very clearly. And there is no point of not understanding, because he's there, and he tells us, no, you should not do this, you should do that. So it's very clear. And this outward manifestation of Paramatma is the spiritual master, Sri Gurudeva. Gurudeva is the incarnation or manifestation of kindness. Because of what reason Krishna should come, either in person or through, or giving power to somebody, if not because he likes us, he loves us. He loves us, that's why he comes. He doesn't like to see us suffering this material world. So he comes outside, and this is his mercy. How kind and merciful he is. And the spiritual master, what he does? This is very simple what he does. He preaches. He tells everybody what, in another form, he was telling us from within our heart. He tells us the truth, how life really is. We think that life is meant to enjoy, but actually it is not. because only because we have a misunderstanding of the basic principle of life, we think that enjoyment is the most important thing of life. Actually, the most important thing of life is to make others happy, not being happy directly. This is unnatural for us. We have to make others happy. And when we see other people happy, so we become happier and happier and happier. So this is the principle of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada so much he was stressing about translating the word bhakti not as love, but as devotional service. Because service is a natural manifestation of love. If you love somebody, you want to do something for this person. This is service. And so Srila Prabhupada came with the idea and desire, since he was a pure devotee, to make us happy. And immediately when he arrived, he started to what? To do devotees, to make devotees, which means to tell others about Krishna. The most effective way to preach is just be pure and simple and tell people about Krishna. And describing.
Sorry to interrupt.
To cut it off. Thank you. So, Srila Prabhupada came and did and made thousands of devotees. Some of them are very good, and like Tamakrishna Maharaj, someone else like me a little less. But I think that Prabhupada loved us all, direct children or not direct children. So in this way I think that this Vyasa Puja is very nice to remember the best of Srila Prabhupada's song. And I'm sure that Srila Prabhupada will be happy with us being here to glorify Tamakrishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna, everybody.
We can be here for a while. Gurudev's got a long time to go here with this line. We once cooked 350 preparations for him. And he said that was one, he actually started out to take a bite out of everything we cooked. He met a few interesting bumps along the way, but he said, that was very, very wonderful show of devotion. Please don't do it again. That's when he started giving specific instructions that I want this many preparations and everyone gets it and it's all nice and I can sit down and eat a nice meal. Which is not to say that we always made bigger offerings though. It looks wonderful. He always called Houston the place of prasadam. That's where he came. But I was recently overseas, staying with a god brother who's basically detached himself from Srila Gurudev for quite some time. In fact, he's generally not even mentioned or spoken about. And we spent 3 days with him. He accommodated us in every single way, him and his dear wife. Everything. Even to the point we were out, he wouldn't let me go to exchange money. He paid for everything, gifts for our children, every single thing. Wouldn't take anything from us. And then when we were leaving, he filled up our bags, literally, with the Prabhupada complete DVD library that he had just finished doing some work on. And said, this one is for Radha Gopinath Prabhu, this one goes to Gopal Prabhu, this one goes to Sarvabhauma Prabhu, this one definitely have to take one to Brahma Samhita. And he just gave devotee after devotee, none of which he's seen in almost 20 years. And in many eyes, this devotee is considered fallen. Didn't seem fallen to me. He's actually carrying on. He's doing wonderful service. This particular, he helped a lot with the DVD set with Nisringananda. So, I mean, he's doing very amazing things. And I wasn't really going to speak about that, but I got inspired when I heard all this talk about the youth and how they were our guarantee that this Krishna consciousness will continue. Well, it's going to continue, and it's going to spread. Because we all know what happens when you give youth the world to save. There's a long history of that in ISKCON. They still need some guidance. And that greatest guidance we can give them is stability. A loving place to call home. And the only way we're going to do that if we try to put down more and more of our differences and concentrate more and more on our similarities and our goals that are to reach Krishna, to stay as a family, to progress in Krishna consciousness individually, as Shyamasundara was saying with japa, collectively, as a family. I knew that was going to happen. I actually thought I was going to beat the bell, but then I said all this about the prashana. So if we, as our generation, can really focus on becoming closer and closer with each other, we'll see that our youth will eventually take over the world and spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Because I really feel our generation is more for holding things together than blazing a lot of trails. So we're the society that will actually keep things in check and move them forward in great leaps and bounds. Hare Krishna.
Mal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki. I want to personally thank everybody for their association, for the devotees for letting me be here, for letting me associate with such wonderful devotees. And I want to thank my eternal spiritual master, Srila Gurudev, the opportunity to associate with all of you. It's so nice to be together here this weekend and just in one morning, you know. It was so nice to have everybody's association, and this is what Gurudev wants us to do. It's what he's given us. And Srila Prabhupada started this. Gurudev was such an amazing general, an amazing leader for Srila Prabhupada. And I'm very, very grateful for everybody's association. And I'm very, very grateful to Gurudev for picking me up out of the gutter and letting me have the opportunity to know all of you, because I never thought in my life I would ever have such nice friends. I never thought I would have such a wonderful life. And it's 100% because of Gurudev. He introduced me to all of you. And so I'm very, very grateful. And I want to say that as a way of pointing out that we should really be very grateful for each other and not take it for granted, which is really easy to do. And I know I do it, and so I just wanted to point that out, what Krishna Kripa Prabhu is saying, that we are a family, what Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu is saying about how as family members we can help each other. And sometimes some of our family members who are very senior to us, they can chastise us. I was really affected by the class this morning. I want to thank whoever picked that particular class. It was a very, very nice class. Gurudev was very strong. He said, if you're going to chant your rounds, you do it in the morning. You're not going to get your rounds done unless you start them and get the bulk of your rounds done in the morning. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Isn't that true? Everybody experienced that. It really is true. So I was very grateful for that. And I felt a lot of love from that, from Gurudev and from everybody that was there. And the chanting was so nice. This Maha Mantra is so powerful. If we can chant it ourselves and go out and chant it and just do a little bit to spread Krishna consciousness, Gurudev is so pleased. I've done hardly anything. What little I've done has been his mercy and y'all's mercy. Y'all have helped me so much. And it's so nice. Let's please continue to do this. Let's get together more and spend our time together and really progress in Krishna consciousness personally and as a worldwide movement. And I'll just wrap up. Want to again thank all the devotees and thank Srila Gurudev so much. He had so much humor and so much love, and just what a amazing personality. So I can never thank Srila Gurudev enough. So I want to really try to do that the rest of my life, really dedicate to Gurudev and you all. Thank you very much. Shri Gurudev ki.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Kinamine. Jila Gurudev ki jai. I ever remain Shri Gurudev at the incredible ability. I guess it's an aspect of being so Krishna consciousness, of being so personal with every one of your disciples at every single level, and it's something that it just keeps coming up again and again. When we heard Nirnay Prabhu, when we heard about him instructing you, you know, how to worship the deity, or the marble deity, or this deity, or that, it just is amazing how he knew every one of our strengths and every one of our weakness, every one of our desires, every one of our good and bad attributes, and knew the degree of surrender that we have. And therefore, he will chastise and give the sauce very, very, very heavy to those who can take it. And to those who had a very big ego like myself, he wouldn't give me the sauce that way, because he knew that he would put me in a position of committing offenses. And I keep saying, and so I go back to the point of how personal, and I want to tie that with the point that Gurudev is definitely, definitely, definitely still here with us today, yesterday, the week before, and he's going to be here forever, because he is our eternal spiritual master. So, you know, Nandini and I, like we all, you know, getting close to be 60s, and we debating what we do in our, with our lives. Should we expand in business, or should we retreat, and should we spend more time in India? You know, I'm sure this is in the mind of a lot of our God brothers at our age. And so we've been talking about this, and we've been talking about different things. And it was amazing to come here and to meet with some of our God brothers and to hear just a few things that are clarifying that. But more than that, in my particular life today, what it reflects is my lack of Krishna consciousness, really. And so, like two other devotees said before, this morning class, was really, it just, Gurudev was, I don't know about you, but he was speaking to me, I know that. I needed this and that, and he's expert at doing that. And he knew I needed it, and he dished it to me one more time, exactly what I needed. So, as youth is the future of ISKCON, and somebody was saying, let's not look at the back, but look at the future. I also want to do that in my life, and I want to utilize this day as a perhaps a jumping or a trampoline in my life to say that in the past 20 years I have not followed your instructions, chanted my rounds, or done the things that I needed to do the way I wanted to do it, but that I will make a vow in front of all of you that I will this to be a changing time in my life. So as the youth, I can also be part of the future of ISKCON and just contribute with a little grain of sand into whatever all of you are doing, which is so wonderful. I don't know why I'm here talking. I have no qualifications to be here, especially when there is God brothers of mine like Radha Krishna, Gopal, so many people that are more qualified than me. So please forgive my ignorance and my offenses, and Jila Gurudev ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Jila Gurudev ki jai. I have been very fortunate that I was one of I guess you can say a very first disciple in Houston. I was initiated in 1984, but I started coming back in 1975 actually. And at that time, Gurudev was not here, and I never even heard about Srila Gurudev. And when Srila Prabhupada passed away, at that time, first GBC was Jagdish Prabhu. Jagdish Prabhu was here. And during that time, after Srila Prabhupada came back from India to US. He wanted some places to preach. So Sri Jagdish Prabhu, I guess he offered Houston, I guess at that time, and Dallas was Satguru Swarup Maharaj was there, and he also offered that. And at that time, I heard about Gurudev from the other disciples, devotees when they were here, how fired up the Gurudev was. So when I heard about him and that he was coming to the Houston, I was very excited to hear from him or see him and just kind of associate with him. When he came with a youth bus load. I mean, there were devotees, about 30 devotees with them on that one. And whole temple, you know, the whole temple was so small. Hardly 10 devotees can fit in the temple. And all of a sudden, I saw about 50 devotees in the temple, and Gurudev was in the center, and that was a fantastic. That's the, I still remember Gurudev's preaching fire of how he trained all the devotees how to preach. And I will say to Srila Gurudev that I really indebted to you for giving me all these associations of the devotees and giving me strength to still continue. Otherwise, I don't even have any idea where I would have been. Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Hare Krishna. I've been wondering how to pray Srila Gurudev today. There's so many things about him that could be praised. So many things that he's done for all of us. But I think the most important thing that he's done for me is to give me your association. I think the love that Gurudev had to give each one of us has been multiplied thousands and thousands of times. And I think that it's spreading all over this world. I know that, you know, Srila Prabhupada's disciples are doing the same thing. And it's just multiplying. And that love that comes from one person can be spread so far, and it can mean so much in this world. And I know that Gurudev had love to give to each one of us. Just like a parent who has one child loves that child dearly. But if you have seven children, you don't love any one of those children any less. So I see that Gurudev was able to spread his love around, and I think the more he gave his love, the more he had to give. And so we see all these beautiful faces here. Thank you so much for being here for me and for all the other devotees. And I pray that somehow or other we all can be with Srila Gurudev, you know, eventually, and enjoy his presence again. Hare Krishna. Srila Gurudev is always like, I would try to give him a flower. I always wonder, what does Srila Gurudev want of me? And I would see other devotees giving him flowers. He would smile with them so lovingly. They would give him a garland. He would smile at them so lovingly. But when I would give him a flower, he would look the other way and talk to his, you know, servant. They ask the servant to go upstairs and do something. I try to give him a garland. He would just look up at the ceiling. So I thought, well, what does Srila Gurudev want of me? So Sankirtan. So he wanted me to do Sankirtan. So I would go out, but seems like whatever I did was not enough. Chandravali, when are you going to do $500? Chandravali, when are you going to do this on Sankirtan? So I thought, well, Srila Gurudev, I try, but it seems like I just can't do as much as you want me to do. And then one day he just got me out, took me out separately, and he said, it doesn't matter how much you do, it's the effort that you put. So that made me, that pacified me somewhat. But, and so I just continued doing Sankirtan until I got a little bit better at it. And then he snatched me off of that and said, I want you to be the head pujari. No. So, but if this is what you want me to do, this is what I'll do. So words to my hands, everything that I learned in dressing Radha Kala Chanji came from Srila Gurudev. He
He just taught me everything I know. Anything you see at Kalachanji, Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji that you like, it's because of Srila Gurudev. And he also chastised me too a lot in that respect. And then one day he was sitting in the temple room, and I'm thinking I've got it all together now. I know what he wants of me. Chandravali, I want you to preach. When are you going to start preaching? And tears just came to my eyes because everyone would always say that when I would try to preach in my younger days that I was too heavy, too heavy with the new people. So I always kind of like shied away from that. So I thought, well, okay, Srila Gurudev, you know, I tried, but I just don't feel secure doing that. So meantime, that instruction, I still haven't, you know, just actually gone out to follow up on. But I know that he really, he's still there pushing me, and I think that he's just waiting until the right time. When the right time comes, I hope I'm not 70 like Srila Prabhupada, because I don't think that I can hold up that long to go somewhere and do a really big preaching mission. But I'm sure, because Srila Gurudev told me I can't retire at 50 like everybody else. I had to wait until I was 65. So that's coming up soon. And I pray that Srila Gurudev will give me that extra push. Like, he was still so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada on the preaching mission. It's just remarkable, his integrity, his character, every quality that everyone's spoken about when they come up here to speak about Srila Gurudev. It's just amazing, all of the achievements that he's fulfilled for Srila Prabhupada. And as far as the youth are concerned, I just want to mention and put in another plug for the youth, because I think that the youth have taken one step, or going one step ahead of us, because they commute back and forth at least once a month to associate with each other from Dallas to Houston and from Houston to Dallas. And I think that that is very commendable, when they are creating a bond right now that even we don't have. And so Srila Gurudev, this offering to you of the youth, and whatever this poor aunt can give you in the future, we are giving you these offerings. And I offer my humble obeisances unto you, and hope that one day I can meet up to your expectations. I always wanted to be like you. That was always my goal. But I hope it's coming soon. Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Jai Srila Gurudev. Today, Gurudev, if I could give you one thing, I would give you all of the flowers in Hawaii. I would give you every single rose that's in the United States, and about every single flower, because you really taught me about flowers. And I really love flowers. And when I think of you, I just think about, when I was looking up here, I said, where are flowers? Flowers for Gurudev, because I just love flowers, you know. I would just really, would just love to make an airplane for Gurudev, but I know he already has it. And because I'm a very controlling person, and I just think, you know, I can do these things. I look at this prasadam, and I said, why didn't I cook something? I am becoming really, forgive me, Gurudev, I'm just really, so many distractions. It's just so many distractions now. I can't even do the simple things you've asked me to do. So every day I just pray, please let me be with the devotees. Even sometimes at work, when I'm at work, you're so kind, you'll just come into my mind, and I'll be saying, wow. And then I know, okay, he's reminding me that I need to go to the temple, because sometimes we get so distracted. And Gurudev, I want the same thing I think all my God brothers want, your mercy, because we know you've given us so much to do. It's overwhelming. We just look at each other and we're just tired. And we just be thinking, how am I going to do it? And we can do it, but it's with our youth. When I look at our youth in Dallas chanting, it makes me think, I am 23 years old. Get up, Diana. Get up, Dermisa. Chant. Get over there with them. And I know that's what it's all about, Guru Dave. You want us to not think about our bodies, gray hair, tired, bones. You want us to just feel that spirit that the youth have. They're just so full of youth. I just look at them, I say, is that the same five-year-old? They have watched us so much. They didn't just get it out of the blue. They have watched us so much that they have got it. And I'm just so pleased, Gurudev, just to see them. So I'm hanging out with the youth because I want to get it. I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget how to chant and move my feet. I don't want to forget how to say Hare Krishna. I don't want to forget how to serve you and cook prasadam for you, even though sometimes. One last thing just hit me this morning when I was looking at you. I know you're here every day because it's one thing I miss, I tell my God sisters and brothers every day. When I cook sweets, whenever you were in Dallas, you would always have someone come and tell me, tell Gerald Lisa, are you chanting your rounds right? What's wrong with the burfi? Are you stirring it right? Or you forgot the sugar? Did you put salt in it? So I challenge, even though I might look exhausted, look at me. I request, oh my God, brothers, if something's wrong, please tell me, because then I know you love me. How do I know if you love me or care about me if you don't say something to me and you just walk past me? But when someone says something to me, like Kartikeya today said, is that who I think it is? I said, yes. Because I knew he cared about me because he said something to me. So I know Gurudev cares about me. That's one doubt I don't have. He loves me, he loves you, and I love him, and I love you.
That is going to be a hard act to follow. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Tamal Krishna Goswami Dinamini. I'm just going to paraphrase my offering. On this auspicious day, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to you for the direction that my life has taken under your guidance. When I met you for the first time in Mayapur, you asked if I would like to take care of the devotees once I finished medical school. I thought it was a cool idea, but I had no inkling how it would come about, and I didn't care so much either. After finishing school, when I went back home to Fiji, where my family was involved in Krishna consciousness, you kept me under your wing. It seems to me I did absolutely nothing to attract your attention. But you called, wrote, and visited our home regularly, giving instructions, challenging, and guiding us. Even before initiation, when I hardly knew you, you arranged my marriage. This Grihastha ashram, with its blending of Indian and American cultures, the lame and the blind man, has allowed me to understand and interact easily within both cultures. You gave me the opportunity to train in cross-cultural sensitivity, just an extension of I'm not this body, long before it became the buzzword it is today. So I thank you for that. Soon after my initiation, when I was hoping to take a full-time devotional service at the temple, being disenchanted with medicine, you asked that I qualify as a doctor in the US. You felt that I could serve in a special capacity as a devotee doctor. Residency training was long, hard, dry, intense, and depressing, but you kept me going with your phone calls, letters, and personal association. All this austerity paid off whenever I got the opportunity to help the devotees with their illnesses and their fears. Then, when you got diagnosed with cancer, I got the special opportunity to use my skills in your care. As I massaged your feet the first day after your surgery, I confessed how I prayed daily to serve you just as you had served Srila Prabhupada since the day I read Servant of the Servant. You were visibly pleased as you exclaimed, "How could it be?" and rubbed my head. You taught me to care for you physically, mentally, and emotionally, nurturing skills, and it was so fulfilling. As our society ages, you are allowing me to utilize these two special gifts you have given me, cross-cultural sensitivity and my medical training, to serve the devotees as you would have me do. In this way, I have the good fortune to get quality association of the Vaishnavas, despite the limitations due to this body. Thank you also for the gift of the holy name, the mercy flowing from our Guru Parampara, the family of our devotees, and for your unconditional love. Thank you very much.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimade Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namine. So, a few days ago I was on Dandavats, and there was this posting by Srila Sivaram Swami about a lecture His Grace Jananivas Prabhu gave in Mayapur. And that lecture basically talked about Guru, who is Guru. And one thing which really struck me is Jananivas Prabhu, His Grace Jananivas Prabhu mentioned that Guru is more difficult to understand than Krishna. So this was something which really stuck me very deeply, and I thought about that very deeply. And then I thought about Gurudev, and I realized actually Gurudev was a very, very difficult person to understand. Because one moment he can tell you something, and then the next moment he can tell you the opposite. But both instructions were absolute. And sometimes you would expect Gurudev to act in a certain way, but he will act the direct opposite. So, and I'm beginning to understand that the best position for a disciple is not to try to understand the spiritual master. Because you can come to the wrong conclusion very quickly. So, the only way we can get access, I feel, is how Srila Gurudev served Srila Prabhupada. And if you notice how, whatever Gurudev does, his supermost intent in his heart is how would Prabhupada be pleased with this? Would Prabhupada be happy with this? Would Prabhupada want me to do it this way? Would he be pleased with my actions? So like that, I think I should start thinking that way. Whatever I do in my life, should say, how would Srila Gurudev want me to do it? Would he want me to even do it? Or would he want me to not do it? Or how would he want me to do it? And another thing which was very remarkable about Srila Gurudev is, in spite of all these years of his association with Srila Prabhupada, he never thought he, in the slightest bit, he understood Srila Prabhupada. He always consulted with his god brothers, his close confidants, about what Srila Prabhupada would want him to do. And that was true about him going back to school at SMU and going back doing his dissertation in Cambridge. And the topic of his dissertation, he always was constantly consulting with his god brothers, even though some of them were quite junior to him. So he saw in his god brothers the will of Srila Prabhupada. So I should also see that the will of my spiritual master is actually manifest in my god brothers and my god sisters and the senior Vaishnavas. So today I admit my frailties in front of my beloved spiritual master, and please beg him that he accept me with all my shortcomings and be kind upon me and give me the strength to maintain my spiritual life and always be in the association of devotees and always serve the devotees in a very sincere and a non-duplicitous way. So thank you, Srila Gurudev, for being there for us, for continuing to shower your mercy upon us and always looking out for us, even when you are physically not present. Srila Gurudev ki! Srila Gurudev Vyasa Puja ki!
I'm going to talk real fast. When Dwarkanath was talking about when the bus came in 1978, Gurudev came, well, I was one of those 30 brahmacharis on the bus. And one thing I remember is Gurudev used to call that place, he used to call it the Yellow Shoe Box. It was a very small, And he was very happy to get out of there and get this new temple. By the grace of Kalakanta Prabhu, who found this property. And one thing I know that, you know, initially I was just going to tell some pastimes, but after hearing that lecture this morning, I didn't remember till the very end that I was actually at that class, because I was one of the people asking a question. Because I heard it this morning, I heard it in a completely different mood from when I first heard it. I think it was 1993 or 94. No, it was 93 or 94. I wanted to thank also Gopinath Prabhu for picking out that lecture. I asked him why he picked that lecture. I said, did you know what you're getting into? He said, yeah, I knew that. That's a classic Gurudev lecture. And anyway, back in 1978, when it was all brahmacharis, there was no question of, you know, not coming to Mangalore Teak and chanting around. Everybody did it. It's automatic. It was a given. And when I left Houston in 85, we went to the Far East, and the way Gurudev structured the preaching in China, specifically Hong Kong, he kind of kept it insulated. It was just, he was there, Giriyari Maharaj was there, and there was a few Westerners, Drasha and myself, a few other devotees, and all the Chinese devotees. And so he kind of kept it insulated, you know. He didn't want, like, any of these, you know, Rithiks or any other factions there. He kind of kept it, you know, how when you grow a tree, when you're first growing a tree, you have the, like, support branch, you know, when it's growing. So it was kind of like that. He was, like, really protective of the Hong Kong temple. Of course, now things have changed, but that happens in the course of time. But anyway, also a very strict morning program. Gurudev was there, all the devotees were there. You know, it was like that. So when I came back from there, I came here in 93, 94, it was also like that. I was one of the people who would be there for Mangalartik and chanting around and everything in the temple. And so when I was there at that lecture, and Gurudev says, you know, I'm at one point in the lecture, he said, I'm firing with two shotguns. But at that time, I felt like I was behind Gurudev, but I was like handing him the ammunition, you know. I really felt like that. But when I heard it this morning, it was like I was getting hit in the chest by that shotgun. So that really hit me hard. And Gurudev was like that. Krishna is like the super soul, and he's in everybody's heart, and he knows he's a dear most friend of everybody in this room, all living entities. You know, you can imagine all the, not only human beings, but all the animals, every blade of grass, and not only on this planet, all the other countless innumerable other universes, and, you know, what to speak of the spiritual world. Krishna is everybody's friend, but Gurudev was like that too. He told me once, he says, I know every devotee in this movement, and we all had that experience of relationship that he has with us, you know. And not only disciples, but all the devotees can feel that. And Gurudev was always pushing us, and not only is he was always pushing us, he was... I was this close. I'm just reaching the conclusion. But he was also pushing himself. I've seen that. Anybody who's traveled with him, they know. He's been spending a lot of time with him. He's always pushing himself too, you know. So, Srila Gurudev ki.
I was sitting over there in my nice, comfortable chair, listening as everyone's speaking. And then Tulsi Priya says, Dina Kaley next. And came as a complete shock. As I like to have my comfort. I like to sit over in that chair and have my comfort zone and just listen and not have to come out of my comfort zone at all. But Srila Gurudev wasn't like that. He wasn't like that at all. Actually, he pushed himself harder than anyone else. And he wanted us to also come out of our comfort zones, to push ourselves a little bit more, to try to do a little bit more, to come out of whatever you know, just like they say, a rolling stone gathers no moss. So Srila Gurudev had no moss on him whatsoever. He was always busily engaged in Krishna's service. And it's just the perfect example for us. And this hall filled with all these people is a tribute to that. It's a tribute to his dedication to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada. And I hope that at some point I can come out of my comfort zone and just really do something significantly, even if it's not significant, just something out of my heart for Srila Gurudev. So I, and you know, hearing Gurudev's, it's interesting. This morning he's asking, Dharma asked a question, what does sincerity mean? And so people are giving different answers. Oh, the motivation. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And so I've almost convinced myself that, yeah, I'm sincere. I'm a sincere person. But any inkling of thinking that I'm a sincere person was totally demolished this morning when Gurudev said, no, it's action. Action is a, that's what sincerity means. It's not just words. It's not just a feeling in your heart. Oh, I know I'm sincere. Oh, Krishna will help me. Oh, everything will be just fine. But that's not really what it means to be sincere. To be sincere means to do it. And that's how Gurudev was. He was a doer. He did it. And he set an example for us to do it also. So I can say, I can stand up here and ask everyone, oh, please give me your blessing to help me to become sincere. But it's not going to come out. That obviously will help, so you're welcome to shower as much as you want. But it really has to come from within us. And we have to just do it. And no one else is going to force us to do it. Just like Gurudev was saying this morning, that the spiritual master can't make you Krishna conscious. You have to take responsibility for your own life and your own spiritual development. And then everything will come from that. And Krishna helps us along the way. He gives us so much help along the way. We can't even understand how much help we get. But it ultimately has to come from within us. So I feel like I shouldn't even ask, oh, please bless me that I can become sincere. It just sounds so nonsense. So I'll try. I'll try harder. I'll try to become sincere and actually fulfill whatever expectations Srila Gurudev had for me. And as I said, you're welcome to just shower as much prayers upon me and blessings as you want. That'll be helpful. Thank you very much. Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
I just have a few words. Dear Srila Gurudev, there are many people in this world who constantly think that they're in charge of everything. They feel that if they act and treat people with kindness, that they're doing their jobs. While this may be true, they're forgetting one important thing, Krishna. People are complaining every day for an exit out of this world. They're finally coming to the realization that this is not some type of paradise. People are constantly getting depressed, growing old, getting sick and dying. Many individuals are reaching out and trying to find some type of shelter. They feel that this shelter will protect them from the vices of this world. Srila Gurudev, you have built this shelter for us, and we will make sure that it protects everyone else. Srila Gurudev, you have also given your life to teach the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone you met. With the guidance of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, you travel around the world to spread the love of Godhead. You taught everyone that as humans, we have the intelligence to know that something higher exists. We should use this intelligence to engage in Krishna's service so we know how to serve him when we are with him. Please continue to guide me so I may one day become a good devotee. Your servant forever, Jagannath.
Well, okay, you can turn that timer on any time now. Okay. I have to say something. I mean, there's a lot of devotees around the world. They're talking about transcribing some of these offerings. So you think, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we have God brothers and sisters in China that maybe, you know, had minutes association with Srila Gurudev compared to what we had. So for their sake, you know, You know, I feel very fortunate. I'm sure everything has been said. I tried to stay in the kitchen so, you know, I wouldn't have to get all worked up about standing up here. But you know, I thought about different things, and I thought about how fortunate I was having so much time with Srila Gurudev and association. And, you know, I think it was just perfect for me. It was just, you know, he gave me everything I needed to continue in my pursuance of loving devotion. And I feel that everybody here and everybody in the different parts of the world that maybe had any connection with Srila Gurudev, they had just exactly what was meant for them. And, you know, I think of how, you know, what he gave me were so many different memories that I can practically anything that I do throughout any part of the day, whether I'm working at home, there's something that reminds me of Srila Gurudev. You know, if it's a drink of water, I can think. I know a lot of devotees drink out of loda because it helps them be mindful of Srila Gurudev. I think of in the mornings, you know, when I had opportunities to serve and where he would ask that his water be warm to a tepid and then transferred to a drinking bottle and he would drink the water like that. I'm saying some of these memories only because on behalf of, you know, we have God brothers and sisters who didn't have so much things like that to see of Srila Gurudev. But I guess to make it short, because I feel the pressure of the bell, you know, I think, you know, Gurudev talks about he talks about Srila Prabhupada's love for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and how, you know, I was talking with Bhakti Karl last night and we were discussing some things, this has been on my mind a lot. But, you know, Srila Gurudev brings this one quote many times in his lectures, how Srila Prabhupada wrote that Vishwanath Chakravarti, in one of the purports in Bhagavad Gita, described how the disciple will continue to serve with love and devotion as his guru, even if the annihilation, even if the worlds are annihilated and everything is finished, he will continue. And, you know, this is the only, it's such a strong point that, you know, even with Srila Gurudev, his desire for us to obtain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our dear Lord's Radha Nila Madhava. At the same time, we know Srila Gurudev firsthand, and the love that he extended to us is directly from the disciplic session, right, directly from the Supreme Lord. And we feel that love because he had so much love for Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had his love, as I think I caught a glimpse of somebody speaking like this a little bit earlier. But so, you know, this is the real goal that he has given to me, is that, you know, he gave us everything to love him, and now we just have to find it and pursue, you know, his love in the ways that he asked us to, and they're very simple. You know, I mean, the very basic things that I guess you heard in the class about chanting your japa very sincerely and with love. I mean, they have all these japa retreats to do that. I consider that my chanting of japa, I try to do it because I know it's pleasing to Gurudev, and I try to do it so I can connect with Srila Gurudev. And the byproduct of doing that, I feel, is that he'll give me Krishna in one way or another. But anyways, that's, you know, I don't know why, you know, I just feel very grateful. I would like to just thank everybody for, you know, tolerating my miserly presence. I feel honored. This might be the last time I speak here as a, you know, actual resident of here, but I don't know. Yeah, thanks. See, Haribo, right? Yay, Gopal's going. Gopal's going. Finally. Somebody go get the U-Haul. No. But Anyways. Either place. I feel I've been very fortunate. You see, I've been both places the last 6 years. That's so merciful that Gurudev, in this whole arrangement, you know, I could have never, ever, you know, it might have been my desire, but he pulled all the strings. It was like boom, 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 and all of a sudden, this whole arrangement happens, and then I have this continual, I have this association at both temples, like my family that I have been missing so long up in Dallas, all of a sudden I'm with them, then I'm back down here and I'm with these. So I feel equally, you know, I feel, you know, the equal love for both temples. It's very difficult. I can't say that I would ever want to leave Radha Nila Madhava. How could you ever say that? That would be foolish. But, you know, it's whatever Krishna's desire. That's all in Gurudev's desire. Hare Bol. Thank you.
Please allow my family and myself to offer you each and all our most humble obeisances. It's very humbling to be before you. So 5 minutes to give you my heart. I had been thinking so long about what to say, and after listening to everybody's beautiful offerings, it really all means nothing. Very, very simple. So just first a short report. We're trying to keep to follow your instructions and stay in Iowa and to share the holy name with the people of the heartland of America in the Midwest. My wife has been leading people chanting in the mosques in Davenport, in the Unitarian Church, a church that doesn't believe in God. It's strange. Leading book groups, teaching classes in Bhagavad Gita, and trying to share all of this. In one of Srila Gurudev's talks in, I believe it was in Australia, in his last days, somebody asked him about his preaching in Oxford. And he said, actually, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm just being who I am and having relationships with people. And through those relationships, they will see and they will understand our philosophy, and then they'll come to me, where are you coming from, and to share it this way. And so we've tried to take up that mood of preaching without preaching, just trying to live our lives as well as possible. I've been listening. It's so fortunate with the work of devotees and also the technology, that all of Srila Gurudev's talks now are all available to us to listen to constantly. And so this is what we've been doing, listening and listening and listening. And it's been enough time now, I think, just as Srila Gurudev in his dissertation is trying to establish, he said, all right, what was the sunum bonum? What was the most essential, the ultimate message for Srila Prabhupada? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is, likewise, what is his essential message? I've been trying to hear through all these many, many hours. We were listening 18 hours on the drive down here, constantly listening. So how does it all come together? What does it mean? And so in one talk he said, I might have been here in Houston, he says, here's the one key. He says, the key is to love Krishna. And how to love Krishna here? We'll show that through loving each other. Really all I can say is how much I love and miss him. So I'm too from Washington Heights and New York. So New York is, Upanuga Prabhu is such a wonderful place because it's the parents' place of Srila Gurudev. And the streets there are the streets he walked. Through the late 1950s, 1960s, when we were really together the most, I've said it before, to my eyes, he is very simply the greatest brother the world has ever known. I mean, how could anyone ever want to a better brother? He was my brother to me. He was also, in many ways, a father in instructing me. But also, I think I'm, you know, certainly as a child then, and even now, as Kartikeya Prabhu said, I'm also very soft and very weak. And so I couldn't take anything. So to understand our relationship, imagine all the love that you shared with him. I mean, you know, so many of you, I feel listening, it's all about, you know, the love that he could accept from us and the love, so much love he had to give to all of us and multiplied by so many times, as Mother Jayanti said. So imagine that love and take away all of the chastisement, all of it. No correction, no harsh words, nothing, none of that I never experienced. The mood was without mixture. It was pure love. Now, of course, in some way, one might say, oh, how fortunate. And I know I felt like that. And as a child, that's, you know, what else does a child need? Except, you know, that security and that love. And actually, I've always felt, and I still feel even today, I'm still, you know, a little baby. I'm still such a small child. You know how one's relationship, sometimes you establish a relationship with someone, and no matter how old you are, there's something about that relationship that is always, that has never changes. And I feel like I'm always a baby in Tamal's arms. And this is how he held me, as his baby. But also he saw in me that I could not take something more. So I saw it at a certain point later as not so fortunate, because I saw what incredible relationships you had with him. And so I was always yearning. I told a few of you this before, for a little bit of that sauce myself. The love was wonderful, but one also wants the spice. And so the only one time I ever remember it was when we were working on his books. And he gave me these books over. I had never done anything like this before. I knew I'd make so many mistakes, and I knew how much they meant to him, the books. So I wanted everything to be perfect. And of course, I made so many errors. But he only pointed out one. And I'm sitting in my office at the university one day, and I get a call, and I believe Sarvabhauma got me on the phone, and Srila Gurudev took the phone, and it was like, how could you do this? What were you thinking? You know, nobody understands it. The books are ruined. What are you even doing? And on my end, I'm like, you know, finally, I'm getting this. You know, this is the full relationship. That maybe he sees that I'm actually grown up, that I can receive this. And I hung up. I smiled ear to ear. I was so happy to receive this. And maybe 5 minutes later, Sarvabhauma Prabhu calls me up and he says, Srila Gurudev just wanted me to call you to say he's so sorry he spoke to you like that, so hard. He really appreciates your work. Something like this. He really appreciates what you do. He knows that you're working so hard. You know, he really thinks you're doing a great job. You know, thank you very much. And so I hung up, and I'm just devastated. Because he had snatched away from me my one moment of, you know, as you say, what is real love, you know? But really, I mean, I think this is his legacy, is so much the legacy of love that he was able to elicit from us. I mean, some of us, we didn't even know we have this love to give, you know. When I was growing up, it wasn't even like he was guru. I thought he was God. I mean, but to get even greater, I mean, so much love he had for all of us. But maybe even greater, like the ability to take that love, to bring that love out of us. I mean, where did that love come from? You know, it's incredible. And to show us that this love for Krishna, and to see Krishna in each other's hearts, and to direct us, you know, in our love for him and in our love for each other. We are so, so thankful for your association, to be included in this incredible family. This is beyond anything we could ever hope for or dream of. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Jai Sri Ramana. Hare Krishna, everybody. Thank you very much for coming and making this program kind of a successful. If anything shortcoming, if you think is there, you know, there is a can outside, you can beat that up. And those two classes that I picked, it's not actually I picked, you know, it's a Gurudev wanted me to pick, you know, he wanted me to pick. You know, I looked at all the classes and those are the two standouts. So, you know, and I appreciate that everybody liked it. Otherwise, I was thinking, you know, I will be in big trouble after this. Thank you. Now, one other thing, you know, my heart has all zeros and one. Everybody, you know, spoke from their heart. You know, if I start speaking zeros and one, maybe two people will know Krishna and Gurudev. So, you know, I have to read what, you know, so people can understand. Dear Srila Gurudev, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadya Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namine. Dear Srila Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. It is only by your causeless mercy that a person so fallen as me could have a glorious master as yourself. The gift of the holy name that you have given me is helping me fight my pride and false ego and is constantly changing my life. The path is hard, but by seeing all godbrothers and godsisters advancing in the spiritual life, I am hopeful that someday I can become qualified enough to call myself your disciple. Thank you so much for engaging me in your service and giving me your association. Above all, your instruction for me to chant early in the morning is the only thing that helps me stay focused and fight all other impediments. Please shower your divine grace's mercy on me so that I can continuously strive to improve on my sadhana and increase my faith and surrender to you and Sri Krishna. Thank you again and again for your perfect exemplary conduct and behavior as an ideal Vaishnava, which is far beyond my ability to comprehend. I feel blessed to be your disciple and try to follow in your footsteps in all that I do. Please grant that someday I will be strong and humble enough to carry out Lord Chaitanya's order to spread the holy name. Yes,
so the holy name is non-different from Krishna. So today the bell is non-different from Gurudev. So as soon as you hear, you just panic. Thank you. I was going to say, for some reason I was thinking of Watership Down, if you have read it, Richard Adams. So in that book, this character called Hazel is going from one place to another, and he's living one place where the leadership is kind of no hands, and then he goes to another place where it's all hands, and then another place that they don't care at all. So, and I was thinking, Gurudev is a person who's everything, he's hands-on, authoritative, you know, he'll shake you and throw you down and guide you like that. But in that book, everyone, every leader there had this problem. They were always fearful of everything. But Srila Gurudev was one person who was never fearful of anything, not at all. And he taught every disciple not to be fearful. And that's how he was. He'll shake you up and say, move, you know, do it. Not for himself, but for Krishna. And that's how Srila Gurudev was. And when you associate with Srila Gurudev, it's like an epiphany of sorts, you know. It's always some spiritual flash that you suddenly understand or see things in a different perspective. That's how Srila Gurudev was. So I want to finish here. So I'll just say two quick pastimes that happened in Dallas. One was just before Carl appeared in April of 1997. I was sitting down and I was chanting my japa in the temple room in the morning. Srila Gurudev also comes and then he'll chant also. And at that time, it was kind of cold. The weather was a bit cold, so I had my cap on. So I took my cap and put it onto my right. So I didn't want anyone to sit next to me whilst I was chanting. I didn't want, you know, you don't want to hear people chanting. So Srila Gurudev saw then and said, "Oh, Radha Krishna, oh, so you are begging like the, you know, Vrindavan beggars, you know." Then I just kept quiet and I just chanted. And after a while, I finished my rounds. I took the cab and walked out. So Srila Gurudev said, "Hey, Radha Krishna, you've collected enough?" So it's the way Srila Gurudev said it. It's not so much, you know, it's funny, but it's the way he said it. There was this feeling, there was a relationship, there was so much love. There he was, my father, my friend. Thank you, Srila Gurudev, for guiding me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm here by the mercy of the youth of Houston and Dallas. Thank you very much. Standing here, I remember instructions from Guru. And I think every Vyasa Puja, I think of all the instructions that Gurudev has given me. And I think the same thing applies to all of Gurudev's disciples too. This is the time for us to ponder on all the instructions given by our Guru and think, have we really followed them? And are we really doing the right thing, you know? Every year we come here, we praise Gurudev a lot, we talk about his pastimes, we say nice things about him, but are we really making him happy? That's what we have to really ponder on a day like this. Are we really making him happy? Have we made him happy? And if not, let's do something about it, individually. And when individually we do something about it, then collectively we see the results. Or else it's going to be very hard for us to let the youth take over from us in the right way. They will see, what they need is love. They need a lot of love, and they will follow example. If we do not do the right thing, then the youth is not going to follow the example. They'll have all the love because we'll give them the love. But after that, there's much more than just giving them a lot of nice prasadam and saying I love you and giving them a hug. And but then that's not enough. We have to set an example. And the first instruction my Guru Maharaj gave me is a little hard for me to follow, because that instruction is, listen to your husband. And as a wife, it's very hard to listen to the husband. But I'm praying every day that hope one day I would listen to him, you know. Yeah. The first time I met him in 1984, that was what he told me. He just said, listen to your husband. I said, okay, go with him. Another incident I'd like to mention about how Dhanakeli was mentioning of Gurudev never being collecting, he was like a stone that never collected any moss. This was in 95 when I cooked for him. It was his examination day, so in the morning we had a perfect breakfast. You know, he was very particular about it, it had to be a balanced breakfast, so he would not feel hungry till 1 o'clock. So that was taken care of. Then in lunchtime, he had a perfect lunch also. Then in the evening, because it was his last day of examination, I thought, let me make a big feast for him, you know, because it's last day. You know how you think, you know, your last day of exam, you want to now relax and just watch TV and have a nice big bowl of ice cream and stuff like that, you know. So I said, let me make a nice big meal for him. So I made this nice big feast for him, and he said, Manjuali, why all this, you know? Why are you serving such a big meal? I said, Gurudev, it's your last day, you can relax now, you know, you finish your exams, take it easy a little bit. He said, what? And he got a little upset, not angry, but a little upset. He said, you don't know what I'm doing, I have all this to do. And he started telling me the whole day schedule, the next day, what all he had to do, and then the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day. And I said, I'm sorry, Srila Gurudev, you know, I can't, I'm bringing you down to my level, which is wrong on my part, because you are way up there doing so many services, and I'm thinking of myself. When I cook a feast, I feel like, okay, I've cooked my feast, I want to relax now, so let me just go home, relax, sleep, and the next day take it a little easy. But that was not Gurudev. Gurudev, no matter how hard he worked, he never took it easy. He was on the go, on the go, on the go. And I think we should learn from him, and I hope I can learn from him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. I'd just like to start off by saying that about 2 or 3 days ago, I was talking to Neil on the phone, and he was like, you know, we all need to write offerings, because unfortunately, most of the time, we don't write offerings, and obviously, our offerings aren't in any kind of book or anything like that. So I'm going to make mine as fast as possible, and you have to make sure Neil comes and reads his also, okay? He's next. Hare Bol. Dear Srila Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to you. I went over in my head again and again what to write about you, and there were so many different thoughts and memories of the few times I was fortunate to do some small service for you. I thought a lot about how things would be if you were still here. Things are going on in your absence, but nothing can compare to the feeling there was when you were personally here. Everything came to life when you were around. There was always this amazing energy when you would come back from your travels. It was so easy for everyone to focus. It was all about making sure everything was perfect for you, and because your whole life was completely devoted to serving Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, we were all being engaged in Krishna's service. This past year, when Giriraj Maharaj was in Dallas on your disappearance day, there was one thing he said that has always stuck in my head, and it was how since you have left, he has been looking for one person or even a group of people that could fill the void that you left, and to this day he has been unable to do that. And when I think about the exalted association that Giriraj Maharaj has, it makes that statement so much more profound. I know for years after you left, I always felt like one of these days I was going to hear about how you were coming back into town and that buzz was going to start back up. More than anything, Srila Gurudev, I would like to tell you how much I miss you and how much I love you. If it wasn't for your amazing service to Srila Prabhupada, I don't know where I would be. My parents were both devotees when I was born because of you, and because of that, I am now trying to become a devotee. There's no way I can ever thank you enough for everything you have done for my family, my extended family of devotees, and myself. I hope one day I can please you, Srila Gurudev, because if I do, I know that I will be pleasing Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. I pray that instructions like the class you gave today will always ring in my head, and that I will be able to actually follow them fully one of these days. Thank you for your mercy, Srila Gurudev. Praying to become the humble servant of your servant.
Hare Krishna. I'm one of those few people, or I should say that I'm one of those very few people who have experienced the soft as a rose side of Srila Gurudev. I don't know what that other side feels like. When we examine Srila Gurudev's service to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, this quality of humility may be difficult to recognize for some people, but I'm just here to share a very little pastimes of how humble Srila Gurudev is. One of his visits from England, he was staying here for a few days, staying in the sannyas quarter, the building we had at the back there. And he was coming out in the morning, maybe to give class, I can't remember, but we were all lining up. So as he was exiting the door, he was coming towards the temple. He noticed I was standing with the other devotee. Immediately he put his arms like this and started coming towards me. And I was like, oh Lord, what's gonna happen now? So when he came up to me, he said, Vidura Prabhu, I want to thank you very much for the book that you have sent me. I've used the book and I've returned it, and one of my disciples will give it back to you. I didn't even answer him. I was like, oh, let his moment pass. Let him just go, take his darshan, give his class. because I was so, every time I was always very overwhelmed by Srila Gurudev's presence. But now that moment, I can just remember that moment and relish that moment of his caring, his humility, and his love that he have for all of us. Srila Gurudev ki!
Yeah. Dear Srila Gurudev, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. When I hear devotees speak of their experiences with you, what stands out is your commitment to Srila Prabhupada and his mission. I think this is an example of this commitment. It's your return to school. As I continued through my education, I experienced that I can barely keep up with my schoolwork with what I consider a busy schedule. I can't fathom how you could maintain all your responsibilities and continue your vision for all the many temples for which you were responsible. You epitomize the idea of leadership. What continually amazes me is how personal you could be with every person, being sensitive to every detail. The one quality I wish to develop is the determination you possess. Your foresight, determination, and thorough training has created a great group of devotees in the Texas community. It is my greatest fortune to be born and raised in this great Houston community, and I have you to thank the most for this. Thank you for my grandparents, parents, and community, where I can call everyone a father, mother, brother, or sister. DISKCON Houston Youth has become very close to Dallas Youth over the years, and I believe I speak for everyone when I say it is our sincere desire to continue your legacy in any way that we can be of service. Please bless me to be able to be humble and be the servant of the servant. Thank you once again for everything. Hare Krishna. Your servant, Guru Maharaj.
The whole time I was listening to everyone, my mind was going more blank what I would say. But I think in today's class, everyone saw the very strong side of Samal Krishna Maharaj. And when I first heard him speak in Los Angeles, around 78 or 9, I saw that also. But when I first came to Dallas, I wasn't sure if I would become a devotee, but I just came to sort of check it out, and I wasn't very serious. And I thought that he didn't need anything because he was so powerful. You know, he was like an army general. And when I came to Dallas, there had been some, the GBC had sent him to China, and he had been some center of some controversy. And he was I'm coming to Dallas thinking I'm going to get to associate with this great Vaishnava Tamal Krishna Maharaj, but after a week or two after I was in Dallas, he had to go to China. It's a very heavy time. And I didn't think I was going to become a Hare Krishna devotee, but I was very attracted to Hare Krishna consciousness. And I felt like Tamal Krishna Maharaj doesn't need any service from me or anything. I was just coming for my benefit. But what actually happened was, when he had to go to China quite suddenly, he was very worried about all the devotees in Dallas, his disciples, and people that were inspired by him. When I saw this side of him, you know, very soft side, very concerned, he had this darshan up in his quarters, and he was just very concerned about all the devotees, and he was giving them little things like socks or an old bee bag that he'd used. And I was pretty new devotee. And I thought, think of it later, as it was Krishna's arrangement, that because I was thinking he's leaving Dallas and he's worried about all the devotees, so maybe I should stay in Dallas, you know, to try to help. But I don't think I ever would have become a devotee if I hadn't seen that side of him, you know, the soft side. So, and I hadn't shaved my head yet, so I had hair and everything. And the night before, he said, tomorrow I'm going to give some prasadam items to the devotees. Then he was going to China, I think. So I thought, I'd like to make him happy, so I thought, maybe I should shave my head, you know. So I decided to shave my head so that when I came to get the socks or whatever it was, I had shaved my head, you know, and he was very happy. And It's like I feel that he has tricked me into being a devotee and doing some service. And sometimes it's not easy to be a devotee, and sometimes one feels quite hypocritical to be in such a great movement and to be so short of the mark. But we all know that to be tricked into serving Krishna is the most wonderful thing. And we know that he has done this for every devotee that, you know, had his contact. In different ways he's done this. He's tricked us into devotional service. So I thought that I would share that one story. And Srila Gurudev ki.
So I can tell you today a story about experiencing the thunderbolt side. I was living in Hong Kong, and at that time ISKCON was going through some very troublesome episodes, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was made the GBC, co-GBC, I guess. At that time, I was maintaining a preaching center in Kowloon and doing an oil painting business, which Hari Sari Prabhu had helped me set up. Srila Gurudev came. I was a little concerned because I'd heard he's kind of heavy. So one meeting that I remember, he was seated behind his desk and I came in and sat in front of him, and he said, "When you get to the spiritual sky, I'll be sitting on this side of the desk and you'll be sitting on that side of the desk." And then he made a proposal that you're doing an oil painting business. Now, we can either cooperate or we can compete. So I said, "Well, I want to cooperate." He said, "Good." So then he assigned one of his godbrothers to work with me in my business. And after some time, one day I found out that all the customers had been called and told that from now on, when you want to order your oil paintings, you call this other number. So I kind of felt, what kind of cooperation is this? Unfortunately, I was in the opposing camp. It wasn't really a choice. I was already in the opposing camp. So the next step was, I was invited to a meeting, and Srila Gurudev, first of all, some other Prabhupada disciples came to me and they said, "You know, this is an ISKCON temple, but it's in your name, or a preaching center. So we would like you to sign over the lease to ISKCON, so, you know, just to show that you're sincere." So I said, "Okay, I'm sincere. I'll do it." So I signed it over. And then the next step was, I was invited in and I was told, "You're not allowed to come to this center anymore." So that's what I experienced. I didn't really appreciate it at that time. It took me a long time to be able to appreciate that, and I'm sure I'll always relish that. Srila Gurudev ki.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Tamal Krishna Goswami Iti Namine. So I just wanted to say a few things today. One is that I actually debated whether or not I was going to come today because life has gotten kind of really busy. And to take one whole day out to drive to Houston and drive back. And then I started thinking, what would I do if Gurudev was actually here? And I wouldn't even think twice. I would definitely go to where the Vyasa Puja was being celebrated. So then I thought, well, that's what I have to do. And then I started thinking, well, shouldn't I be thinking like that for all aspects of my life? You know, what would I do and not do if Gurudev was actually here? And so I started thinking about how I'm living my life and what I'm doing. And as everybody knows, I started a clinic not too far from the Dallas Temple to help serve the Dallas devotees for their medical needs. And actually, I wanted to share the story of how that kind of came about. When I finished residency, I moved back to Dallas because of my family and my dad's health. And I originally had just planned to do temp work and just kind of not really settle down anywhere and go here and there. And while I was doing this temp work, you know, a lot of devotees would come up to me and ask me where I was practicing and where they can come see me, or if they had help, or they need, you know, they needed help, or they needed something. And I really couldn't offer them anything because I really wasn't in a position to, because I didn't have a clinic of my own. So one of the things I began to do was call all the neighborhood hospitals and see if anyone could sponsor me. Most of the hospitals wanted to sponsor me like miles outside of the city. And one hospital, not only did they want to sponsor me, but they said, yeah, we want to sponsor you and we want you to set up in Lakewood. And I said, where's Lakewood? So I asked Deepesh, my brother, and he said, Lakewood's that area that you go to when you go from the temple to the Whole Foods. And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. And I really felt Gurudev kind of like put, you know, just kind of made that whole thing happen. And because they said, this is where you need to set up, I said, well, of course, this is what I need to do. So I totally felt Gurudev's presence at that time while I was setting this up. And, you know, I'd like to admit that I still continually feel his presence, but it's hard. And you know, the ringing of the bell, I was just about to say, it reminds me, and I'll share this story and then I'll be done, but it reminds me of, as Radha Krishna says, that when you're serving Gurudev, he used to ring that bell. And I remember actually one of my Vyasa Puja offerings in the past has been about that bell. And, you know, we used to stand really quietly and not talk so we could hear that bell and run in and ask Gurudev what he needed. And so I'm still listening for that bell, and I know it's ringing, I just don't hear it. Oh, maybe with all of your blessings, I can actually hear it again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I didn't plan to speak today. I realized that this is my family and I should feel comfortable, but it took a lot of courage and it took a lot of your stories to get me up here. I don't feel like I knew Srila Gurudev so well. I had a few personal memories of him, and that's just him and the kids. And I didn't realize how much he is still a part of my life until I heard everyone talking today. It made me realize how much he has done for the youth. He went to amazing lengths in school, setting a precedent for us. He showed us the respect and acknowledgement we can receive from the outside world, showing how our generation will be able to reach out to a different set of people. He also gave the youth a sturdy family with the most diverse mix of people. Since everyone's been talking about the youth being the future, I want to thank my aunts and uncles for their hard work over many years that now facilitate our spiritual life. I ask for your constant encouragement and association, because you are our connection to Gurudev.
I find Rupa and Neil.
For a lot of us kids growing up, we always saw this really soft side of Srila Gurudev, you know, that guru that would, he'd pat your head and give you sweets, he'd come play with you, and that was nice and all, but I think in some ways, we're, as youth, we're unfortunate because we haven't been the ones to get any sort of real instruction as to what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to go on carrying Srila Gurudev's workout. And me and like Neon on my recent trip to India, we were just talking like it'd be so awesome, it'd be so cool if Srila Gurudev was here to guide us. And he isn't here, but we have so many great devotees in Dallas, we have Mother Manjuali, like the Nityananda Prabhu, always there to give us advice, always there to guide us. We have people in Houston, Chaitanya Prabhu as well, Neil's mom, Neil's dad. And I think that's all because of Srila Gurudev's mercy that we still have people to guide us, and I pray to him that he still looks out for us and continues to guide us through these great devotees.